Now, so you can write down Mark 9:23. We've been talking about this. Jesus said unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And so if something is looking impossible, it's only because, now don't get mad at me, it's only because we don't believe it. We don't believe it's possible. If something seems impossible, it's only because we don't believe it's possible. Or you can say it a more proper way. We can say, we think it's impossible because we don't think God can do it. Now, I know you would never say that because God can do anything, but we don't believe it. Because if we did, you would say it. Even as you believe, therefore you speak. That's what the Bible says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, so you're going to be giving yourself away by what you say. Now remember this. At the minimum, 85% of communication is nonverbal. 85. So your tone, well, I believe God can do it. You just told me he's not. He can't. I heard it in your voice. You know, or God can, he can do anything. You know, okay, well, you just told me. And then what Valerie said, your proof of trust is releasing what's in your hand. You know, this woman with the two mites there, I don't think she saw herself as a widow giving her last. I don't believe, because you would act the way you think you are. The way you act and the way you live your life. You see, I don't see myself, I've never been, experienced prejudice because I never saw myself different. If I don't see myself different, I don't act like I'm different. Does that make sense? You act the way you see yourself. Now, I will say there's a couple things, since Keys is not in here, I think that monitor's off, I'll say this. You know, I never thought myself to be Mr. Attractive or anything like that, and so I never dated a whole lot when I was younger, but I will say some of the people that I had dated, I guess you can call it dated or go with. Back then, I said, you go with me, y'all go with you, go anywhere, I don't know. Anyway, I look back now and I'm like, whew, man, what was I thinking? And so it wasn't until later on in life I had to start realizing, I don't care what I look like. I'm going to do the best I can, but you know what? God will make me look good. And so like when Keza and I first started talking, I really didn't think she liked me because she was real flirty back then. And so I thought she was just flirting with me just because that's what she did. And so I really didn't. And then finally I'm like, you know what? I bet she does. And I'm like, no, I don't know why I thought like that, but I had to start believing better. I had to start thinking better. Now, the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. So it's not saying don't think of yourself highly, okay? It's saying don't think more highly than you ought. So you ought to think high about yourself, just not higher than you ought. Does that mean? Now, I don't know where the limit is. It's just between you and the Holy Spirit, okay? That's just between, or maybe your spouse. Your spouse will help you out on that there. But again, everything is done according to our faith. Jesus, look at all the miracles that he did. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to you believing, it's not impossible. It will be done to you. Now, I was talking to a guy last week, I've known this guy for many, many years. And, man, he's always bounced around from job to job. He's got a good thing going, and all of a sudden he quits. And goes unemployed for a long time, trying to find something else that he doesn't know what he wants to do. And then you ask him, what are you doing? Well, he gives you this long thing about it. It's so confusing. I'm like, well, what are you doing? You want to do this, you want to do this, you want to do this, you want to do this. And I'm thinking, man, that's a guy who he knows God's got big things for him, but whenever he gets to the place where he sees, oh, well, that's kind of impossible for me. Then he goes to different directions. He bumps up against that and says, no, that's impossible. Oh, let me try something else. We go the easy route. And see, that's what the human nature tends to do is we start moving forward. I'm going to do this and this is going to happen. And then we see an impossibility. And then we're like, ooh, that's a big one. Maybe I should go the lower route. Or, back in my day, it should have been, ooh, maybe I should go for the ugly chick instead of the cute blonde, And so you have to punch through that. When there's an impossibility, I love the story. Now, I love aviation. I love airplanes and all that. And I love the story, the true story of Chuck Yeager. He was an Air Force test pilot who dared to try to break this, the sound barrier, the speed of sound, 700 and something miles per hour, and no one thought it could be done. And when he decided, you know, he's going to do it, they told him, look, we believe that if you try to go that fast, your body will just shatter like Jell-O inside. You're kind of like a massive concussion. You know, back in World War II, when tanks, you know, army tanks would fight against each other, if a bomb hit a tank, it may not penetrate the tank, but the explosion caused a concussion that literally would shatter every bone in the bodies of the guys. So they pull these guys up, they were like Jell-O. I mean, they were just like Jell-O because of the concussion. And so they thought the speed of sound, breaking the sound barrier, would do that. And so they would get real close, fly real fast, and Chuck Yeager was getting up there, and all the glass on the panels started to break and snap, and even the canopy, you know, kind of cracked a little bit. But once he pushed through, everything was smooth. Everything was smooth. Everything was just fine. But you see, somebody had to dare to break through that. He believed it was not impossible. And so thank God he did, or else we'd be flying real slow today. We never could have gone to the moon. We never could, all the space travel, we couldn't have satellites. Could never get internet now, could we? Or cell phones would be really tough to operate just by towers alone. And so again, someone had to dare to believe that whatever barrier is in front of me, it's meant to be knocked down. That's the way we have to be when it comes to the plan of God for each and every one of our lives. Because there should never be a time where what's in front of you should be always doable naturally. You see, there are many things you'll be able to do naturally. But there's things in the plan of God that demand supernatural intervention or supernatural plan, supernatural ability. Now, the key to things will be operating the supernatural on a daily basis. So you can exercise that supernatural on a regular basis. So when some of those other bigger things happen, you've already been exercising that stuff. You've already been working that system. You know, the kingdom of God system, you've been proficient with that system. Does that make sense? We're talking about proficiency in operating the things of God. Yesterday I took a course, a shooting course, and one of the things the instructor mentioned was he talked about proficiency. He said the more you do this, the more proficient you'll be, the more accurate of a shot you'll be. He talked about muscle memory, how you do things more and more. You know, we're trying to teach our kids confessing the word, and so when we leave the house, we got a list. We have this list that we go over all the time, so that they can make sure that when something happens, what do we say? And so here lately, Mackenzie, she experienced, you know, they experienced a lot of favor. We declare Psalms 5:12 that they're surrounded with a shield of favor, and then we confess that everyone likes me, that good things always happen to me, and I expect good things today. And so, man, they'll see some wild stuff happen and good things happen, and Mackenzie's like, Dad, that was the favor of God. I'm like, yes, ma'am, it was. And I said, I didn't pray for it on y'all. I said, you spoke it. You declared that stuff, because if they can get proficient at their age, they will outdo me, and that would be my greatest testimony, and that will be the greatest testimony of my life, is to say that Michael Munoz's kids outdid him in the things of God. See, we're going to outdo what Jesus did miracle-wise when he was alive on the earth. He said so. He said we'll do greater things. That's what he said. And so we're supposed to do the same exact thing. Amen? All right. And so let's turn our Bibles. We've been talking about the imagination and how you know, God wants us to deal with imagination. Let's look at James. Let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 4. I want to hit this a little bit, because everything starts with our thinking, our imagination. Everything starts with our, do we believe this is impossible? Do we believe it's impossible? Do we believe we can do this? It doesn't matter if you can do it or not. That's where we got to get out of our system. We have to be, and this is where Brother Copeland's been trying to get us to think this way for years. We've got to be God inside minded. God, the Spirit of the living God, the same God, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in that tomb on resurrection morning is the same Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. And so, you know, this is not a cliche when I say that we have dead resurrecting power living on the inside of us. And you have to realize this. The Bible says in Ephesians, chapter 1, that the most power that God has ever exerted was not in creation. People think, well, it must have took a lot of power for God to create the heaven and earth. No, it didn't. Didn't do much at all. But in raising Jesus from the dead is what took the most exerted power. Now that kind of makes sense because, man, it's nothing to create something from brand new out of the Word. But when you have the sin of the world, past, present, and future, sickness, past, present, future, poverty, past, present, future, and then people actively fighting against all those things, or fighting for them, actually, fighting for poverty, not against poverty, for poverty. Well, I don't believe in this prosperity stuff. I get hit with that all the time. You know, prosperity preachers and blah, blah, blah. And then I don't believe God's will is for everyone to get healed or I believe you got to work your way into salvation. You know, even after you get saved, you got to work. You know, we believe and you believe in grace. You believe that grace is there to help you live clean. Isn't that right? Not to give you excuse to do all the questionable. Everybody say questionable. Notice I didn't say the obvious. Obvious. That's, grace doesn't cover for the obvious. People think, this is questionable, but I can do it. I live under grace. And so anyhow, man, you got to hear Brother Creflo's message on moral law versus Mosaic law from Believers Convention this year. Change your life. It'll change your life. All right. So what did I tell you to go? James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, so we're talking about double-minded. What is double-minded? Listen to this. This is double-minded. Double-minded means doubtful. It refers to a doubter or one who wavers. The word is waverer. Waverer. There's a lot of R's in that there. Waverer. In the general sense, listen to this, it means an unstable person. A doubter is an unstable person. Listen, I don't want someone looking at me as unstable. I don't want somebody thinking that I am unstable, okay? And listen, somebody who lives between two thoughts is unstable. One day you believe God will do it, one day you don't believe He's going to do it. Let's just grow, be where you are, and then grow from there. You see, a lot of times, and I think in our charismatic environments, I think it's one of these things where maybe we try to impress people, and so we try to vocally declare big things, but we're not just quite there yet. But instead of believing, well, I'm going to do this, and well, it's great to have a vision, but man, how about right now? Are you good for right now? I'm believing God to get through this week. How about that? Or you know what? Someone's dealing with pain. Well, I believe I'm healed. Yes, very good. And then today, what are you believing for? Well, the pain's still there. I'm believing for less pain. How's that? Brother Keith talked about a story about a lady who really was fighting. She had bad cancer in her stomach, and man, she's just down to skin and bones. It was in a foreign country. Brother Keith just happened to be in that country, and so he had known her. She was a great minister. So went to her bedside, and she kind of leaned in there, and she whispered to him, I can't eat. I can't keep anything down. Every time I eat something, I throw up. And so Brother Keith, he's just as gracious as can be, but he can't let her sit there and think a lie. And so he says, well, sister, I hear what you're saying, but I can understand why that's happening. Real simple, because you keep saying it. You keep saying it. He said, repeat after me. I have a good appetite. So she, I have a good appetite. Whenever I eat, it stays down. And so led her through that. Matter of fact, he with all the energy she had, had her say that a few times and then prayed over her and then left. Well, later on, I think it was like a year or 2 years later, she winds up coming to the United States for a conference. And the way he said it, he said, she needs to stop saying that confession now. That was his way of saying, what I'm saying? And so, but what I'm saying is, listen, start where you are. Don't start up here. Start where you are. Start believing. Somebody said, well, I'm having a hard time, just letting go of some of the money or the things or the whatever that I know God's wanting me to do things. I know He's wanting me to do it. Listen, if we just start, things, circles that we keep running around in our household, in our family, they're not going to break until you break. Because as authorities in our home, our faith will touch what's in our home. And until we break this crazy circle by us stepping out and doing what God said to do, or doing what we know to do, man, nothing's going to happen. But if we will begin to do what we think, you know what? I know naturally this is impossible, but I'm going to do it anyway. When you determine to push through that, you will see the supernatural power of God. So back to this right here. James talks about the word double-minded. Listen to this. This phrase, double-minded, it has an understanding of this. It says, it describes a person that suffers from divided loyalties. This word, double-minded, describes a person that suffers from divided loyalties. What did that verse Jesus say? You can't serve God and mammon, or money, the god of money. If you study some of the ancients, the word mammon refers to a demon god of money. Okay? Now, what I'm saying is this today. We've got to be single in our thinking. We can't look at the thing that's staring us down and say, well, that's impossible. No, 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 no. No, no, nothing's impossible with God. You forgot. Just admit it. I forgot. Okay, I got it. Everything is possible for those who believe. Well, but Pastor Michael, we're in a tough time. Listen, you know, we believed God to sell that single wide trailer there that we had in Quinlan, and we fully understood the only place that gives financing for single wides is FHA, the only place. And their criteria is very, very high. And we knew that it's a very low likelihood that anybody can get financing on a single wide truck. We knew that, but we knew that since that was an impossible situation for the natural, that must mean we have to believe God. And praise God, it's sold and things are done. It's out of the way. And we look back now and we think, man, praise God, that was impossible. You see what I'm saying? God wants to do the impossible in each and every one of us, but it takes us believing bigger. It takes us looking past some of the junk in our life. Let's close with this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And Valerie, you read that in the message this morning? I read that this morning, man, in the message also. And I like the way that reads. Romans chapter 4. And this is important. This is going to help you out right here. Bless you. Romans chapter 4. All right, now, starting at verse 17. Of course, we know, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did exist. See, that's how God operates. God doesn't operate by what you see. He operates by what he sees. Well, you know, God sees my situation. No, no, no. He sees the end result of your situation based on his promise. What? What does that even mean? He sees what he did. He died for our sickness. He died for our, Jesus died for our blessing and all the things Jesus died. So he sees that and he's wondering why don't they believe that? Why don't they? See, the faith of God is believing what he did. It's believing the end result. So God, he calls things that do not exist in the natural as though it does, because it exists in the real place, in the heavenlies or the spirit realm. And he just wants us to get our eyes enlightened to see what already exists for us and what belongs to us. All right, so back to this right here. Verse 18, who contrary to hope or against hope, believed in hope. In other words, contrary, the word hope means expectation. So contrary against normal expectation. Abraham had no reason to expect to have kids. It was impossible. It was an impossible situation. Even though there was contrary to expectation, he had hope, or he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according as it was spoken. So that's the key right there, according as it's spoken. So your possibilities are based on what was spoken. If you see an impossibility in your life, if you will find where it was spoken, you have just turned that impossibility into a possibility. Well, Peter walking on water, real, real simple. Here he was, seeing Jesus walk on water, and Listen, you got to appreciate Peter. I mean, he may have betrayed Jesus three times, denied Jesus three times, but come on, a man did walk on some water, you know what I mean? And he's the only guy that physically was defending Jesus with a sword, cutting off a joker's ear. I mean, which one of y'all would have done that? You know what I mean? Oh, a soldier's coming, oh no! And so anyhow, so he sees Jesus, he says, well, hey, if that's you, tell me to come. Now, he knew this. He knew all he needed was a word from God, and he could do the impossible. And so Jesus said, come on. And so at Jesus' word, remember, at Jesus, not presumption, not being presumptuous, not assuming or presuming, well, I think this might be God. So we do that too much. See, faith is knowing the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you don't know, you can't go. And so once you know, you can go. Once you know, every trip to Belize, man, we believe God because you know what? He's going to have to pay the bill. He's going to have to pay the bill. That's why I can't go. We got people calling or messages all the time. Hey, come to Belize. Come. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I got more invitations to another region. And, you know, I told guys, we'll be there, but I can't tell you when right now. You know, the other guy, we're going to go in November. And so again, you know, if God says go, he's got to pay the bill. Real, real simple. I like what Bill Jesse says. When the bills come in, he says, Lord, you got mail. Listen, kingdom bills are his bills. That's something we've got to get used to. You know what I mean? That's why I love partnership. Because partnership comes, the letter comes in or the email or whatever you might use. You know, the partnership letter comes in and we're going to use our faith to get some seed for that partnership. It makes us have to believe where I may not be, you know, growing my faith right now. All right, so back to this right here. All right, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, of the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise, and through unbelief. Remember, we said this when Jesus said nothing is impossible for those who believe. Then the disciples asked him, well, why couldn't we do this? Jesus said because of unbelief. Unbelief is believing the five senses opposed to believing the Word of God. He says, he did not waver at the promise through believing his five senses, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I want to read verse 20 in the Amplified. It says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. In other words, he had no distrust. He had no unbelief. He didn't waver or doubt or question. Well, I don't know if God is going to get through or not. I don't know if this is really God. Listen, if it's impossible, it probably is God. You got to just make sure you have peace. You know, you should be led forth by peace, the Bible says. If it's peace and it's impossible, it's definitely God. If you got peace, I like that. If it's peace and it's impossible, that's a God thing right there. Punch through that wall. Amen. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question or concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith, listen to this, as he gave praise and glory to God. You see, what you give glory and praise to, what does glory mean? One of the definitions of glory means to make heavy with weight or heavy with weight. You see, when you talk about something, you're giving it more weight. That's what a reputation is. When you talk about somebody's reputation, you're putting some weight on it, rather sinking weight or weight that makes it bigger and better. You know what I'm saying? When you praise God for what? For His promise. That's what real praise is based on. Not feeling or emotion. You know, I love that song we sang, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't seal it or see it. Man, we don't praise by how we feel. We don't praise by what we see. We praise by what He said. You know, I was reading this week I guess it was in Joshua when they came up against the walls of Jericho. God told them. Now, He said this. You know, He said this. He said, when the trumpeters blow, He said, you shout and the walls will come down. Well, that word shout literally means a battle cry, a war cry. It means a shout of victory. Listen, we have too many cries of defeat. That's what complaining is. That's what whining is. It's a cry of defeat. When we need to have the shout of a victor, we need to have a war cry. What is a war cry? A war cry means I am fixing to take something from you. This is my shout. Stand out of my way. It's mine now. Here I come. And go straight for it. Listen, it's time for you and I to begin to do the crazy things like shouting at a wall,
She might imagine that. That's crazy, shouting at a wall.
Yeah, yeah. But it's what he said to do. I guess I'll do it then. But if we will begin to do what he says to do, and don't think. You just do what he said. Don't think about it. Don't waver. That word, the word consider, where it says he did not consider his body in verse 19. It said the word consider means to think, to observe, to notice, to contemplate. In other words, well, you know, my body is 100 years old. Listen, don't think about, well, you know, how am I gonna believe God for $5 when there's not even a stitch of cash in my wallet? Some of the keys took all my cash there. And, you know, how am I gonna believe God for this if I don't even have nothing? Listen, quit considering. Quit thinking about. Don't consider. Don't observe. Don't notice. Don't contemplate. Well, how am I gonna? No. If God said do it, be ready to do it. Then stagger. He did not stagger in unbelief. The word stagger means to distinguish, to judge, to decide. Listen to this. To separate thoroughly. In other words, he did not separate himself from the promise of God. He did not separate himself from the promise of God. You see, when you begin to meditate on the Word of God, on the promise of God, it fuses the promise to you. The promise has no impossibilities in its way. And if you and I would fuse ourselves to the promise of God instead of staggering, fuse ourselves by meditating the Word of God, by speaking the Word of God, then wherever that promise can break through, I can break through. You see, he did not stagger at the promise, it says. He did not stagger at the promise, but he connected himself to the promise. Peter connected himself to the promise of Jesus, the Word of Jesus, but then he staggered, and that's when he started to sink. This morning, it is time to start looking for something impossible and finding the will of God. Because see, God has showed us in the past, but we saw the impossibility of it, and we said, hey, he got something easier. And I don't know if I've ever done it. Yeah, I know I have. I've done that. You got something easier? You know, maybe a preschool job for me, or you know, something real simple that I could possibly do. It's time to step forward and let God be God. Let him be that way maker for us. Amen. Let's stand.